Want a website with unmatched power, speed, and control? Try Bluehost Cloud, the new web hosting plan from Bluehost, built for WordPress creators by WordPress experts. With 100% uptime, incredible load times, and 24/7 WordPress priority support, your sites will be lightning fast with global reach. And with Bluehost Cloud, your sites can handle surges in traffic, no matter how big. Plus, you automatically get daily backups and world-class security. Get started now at Bluehost.com.
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
I do like your idea.
My idea?
Your idea.
Oh, the nonprofit?
The nonprofit idea. I do. And I even like your idea about, what'd you say, recovering porn stars?
That's recovery.
That's who we're going to help.
Well,
who are we going to help?
Yeah, because
I think bringing them back into society.
You want to help them. You want to help them adjust to, like, once they're done with porn.
Like what?
Once they're old,
teach them how to like make a podcast.
You know, once they're old, like 25 for porn, because that's old for porn.
But
right?
you know, they want to be like, hey, stop sucking that microphone.
Exactly. We want to move them into, you know, civilian life.
So how to get acclimated back into?
You have to help them. Mm. You can't just go from.
I like where your heart's at, dude.
It is.
I think I'm very compassionate.
I'm empathetic.
Because I can get behind this.
Well,
because
you could get behind it.
I could really
and you could move it forward.
It'll really drive them to success. We'll have the least successful nonprofit all the time.
Yeah.
Like, why are you back in porn? Adam? Oh. Okay.
I didn't know where you were going with this originally, but then when you started to say that, I was like, okay, I could see us doing that.
No, for real.
I'm ready to give back.
For reals, would you guys want to do a nonprofit with me at some point? For reals, though. Not the one I just said. That's baloney.
Well,
that's
not true. I would definitely want to do that one. I'd like to hear your ideas, though, because that's a pretty good one. If you keep coming up with ideas like that, this could be something we do in the near future.
You think so?
Yeah, no, for sure. I think when we have more time, I think there's a lot of ideas that we all have. But right now, we're struggling to get all of our stuff.
Well, a lot of people don't know this. I'm gonna put you on blast, but this is a good thing.
It's a good thing.
Adam actually has an environmental fund that people don't know about. Mm. Every dollar invested in his environmental fund improves his environment. So.
Makes everything more feng shui.
That's right. Send me your money.
Yeah. Send me your money from my environmental fund.
Yeah, I get to look at better stuff.
I was wondering where you're going. I was like, I do have one of those. Did I set something up? Did Katrina do something when I wasn't paying attention to it?
Hey, you know what's funny? I see that like
endangered species.
Like the three levels of feet. Like I'm completely barefoot. You have socks on, Adam.
Yeah.
Justin's got complete shoes on.
He does.
It's like the three levels.
I'm not going to lie. Ever since we went up and we hung out with Ben Greenfield, like it just was like a reminder of how little I do that and how much more I need to practice that.
Mm-hmm. Well, so yeah, what you're doing right now, Sal, is really grossing me out.
So
what am I doing?
My new thing is...
Don't touch my feet with yours. Don't do that. Don't do that, bro. The only thing worse than having another man's feet touch your feet is dicks touching.
You think that's worse?
What's worse?
You know what that means? Is you've done it.
What?
How would you know? How would you know that's worse?
That's a very good point, Justin.
Actually,
that's a very good point.
I got a question for you.
What?
Would you rather kiss a man on the lips, no tongue, just on the lips,
okay,
for...
Interlace your...
For 30 seconds, just touch your lips,
or would you rather
have your bare feet... interlaced toes for that same period of time.
And I had to do one or the other.
See how gross? See what I mean?
With a man or a woman?
With a what?
Yeah, with
a man.
Another man.
What the fuck?
I don't know.
Obviously, you do with a
woman. I would do it with a woman.
Yeah. I'd do both those with a woman.
I'm just saying.
Just as like, let me think about this. Feet with a woman.
Because you know how much I hate feet.
Yeah, right? They're gross. You never suck on a woman's toes?
No way, dude. Those things are meant for the ground.
You never let her put her toe in your booty hole?
What?
What are you doing?
I don't know.
This guy.
I thought I'd go way far.
Yeah, that was...
You know,
but seriously,
when you like talk like this, I can't. I seriously now. When
I think people freak out
when I meet your girl. I look at this. That's all I picture now, dude. I'm just like, I wonder what
poor thing. She comes in. And we're just like,
you know what? You know what's funny? I joke around a lot.
I'm having a big weekend, guys. I'm like, no, we don't want to know.
I'm pretty vanilla.
Here, look at this picture of me naked right here.
Sal's got like a backpack, and I'm like, oh my god, I don't want to know what's in there.
Yeah, no, yeah, no idea.
Why is that backpack humming? It's no. I'm come on. I joke around a lot, but I don't let people put their toes in my butt. But Seriously though, that's gross.
Like touching to clarify that
your foot touching another man's bare foot is it's gross, right? Isn't it?
Interlocking toes.
It's less gross and more weird.
Yeah. What do you mean?
It's less gross and more. It's not like it's gross.
Well,
like,
you know what I mean.
I wash my feet. Well, you might not wash your feet actually. So I don't know.
You guys are cooler with like making out for like 30 seconds.
No, I would rather interlace toes.
Is what you're saying?
If I had to choose interlace toes or kiss you for 30 seconds, I'd interlace toes.
Would you really?
Yes.
It's
I don't want your mouth on my mouth.
You're cooler with making out. Like, you're talking tongue.
No. That's not what I said.
He said a 30-second kiss, mouth to mouth.
Mouth to mouth.
If I'm not getting paid and it's not like a movie thing or something like that, absolutely, I would rather interlace my toes.
Yeah, what kind of money are we talking about?
The fact that you kind of think about it,
by the way, we're not homophobic whatsoever at all.
That has nothing to do with it.
Yeah. We're obviously not.
No, well, we're wired, you know.
Sword fight. And I know somebody thinks that right away when they hear some shit like that, but I don't.
Lightsaber battle. Yeah, I mean, I'm down for that, but the making out thing, whoa, it's a different story.
Oh my goodness.
But it's weird, right? The whole feet thing is very strange.
Yeah.
And a foot rub, that's a pretty intimate thing, apparently.
Well, remember Pulp Fiction?
Yeah, remember he got killed for that shit.
Yeah, that's almost. Right. You throw a man out four-story window for touching his wife's feet.
I'm telling you, dude, it's fucking weird.
That's
man.
Right. You touch my woman's feet, I will throw you out of building.
Really?
Yeah, 100%.
Don't worry. But like, so the guy have like a beard, or has he got like, you know, a real soft face?
Ooh.
That matters.
The guy you're kissing?
Yeah.
That's a good question.
You know what I mean?
That's a good question.
Can I pretend like it's a girl in my head?
Well, hold on a second.
He's cute.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, he's soft lips. Not like some like scraggly. Like,
if he like
tarantula.
Hold on a second. So what you're
Joey
saying,
Swole
what you're
you
saying, what Justin's saying right now
is kiss Joey. Would you rather kiss Joey Swole or interlock your toes with Sal?
Sal,
me,
day,
bro. Come on. He'd rather kiss me.
I would punch Joey Swole.
Listen,
head.
Hold on a second. If you, Justin would rather kiss a dude with a soft face so that he can pretend like it's a woman versus a dude with a beard, but they're both guys. Wouldn't you rather know what's going down? You know what I mean?
Listen, as much as I can in my head dress up a different scenario, I would.
Yeah, I'm with
Are
Justin.
Are you kidding me?
I think he has some...
Well, like, I have to address that this is happening? I don't want it to happen to begin with.
I'm getting that weird feeling in my mouth. You know when you, like, you think about something like that makes your mouth, like, water because it's gross? That's what I'm getting right now.
Okay.
I just instantly pictured it. I actually imagined it.
you were tasting it right there. I like, saw you. It was in the air.
I was like, oh. That's disgusting.
I feel like Justin would be a really good kisser, too.
Stop it, Adam. That's what makes me uncomfortable.
We all know who the best kisser is.
I mean, if you guys got me drunk enough, we're talking.
Well,
talk about it.
If mind pump tanks, we got ourselves a business.
We know what the
Oh my god, Eagle, save us!
Please take us out of this conversation.
Save us!
Today's Quaw is being brought to you by Chimera Coffee. It's the only coffee that is infused with all natural nootropics for a cleaner, calmer, and more focused buzz without the crash. Click the Chimera link at mindpumpmedia.com and input the discount code MINDPUMP at checkout for 10% off.
It's the motherfucking Quaw.
The eagle has landed.
Quee Qua.
Our first question is from OCC Girl 1. Is asking about managing stress and gut health.
Did you pick this one?
Who?
You?
Yeah, you think it was me?
God, can we talk about stress and gut more?
What are you talking about?
Actually,
we don't talk about
this. Yes, we do.
We don't talk about stress and gut.
Yeah, I don't recognize the name OCC girl, OCC girl at all.
You know
so,
me?
Yeah, OCC, you know me. It's cool. We can answer this because I feel like we do talk a lot about gut health, and it's an important topic that not a lot of people talk about because it's not sexy, right? But there's not a lot of information out there on it. So, and I don't feel like a lot of fitness professionals discuss this. So, is that the full question? How do we manage stress and gut health, or how does stress reflect gut health?
Yes. How does stress affect gut health?
Okay. So, well, Sal recently talked like on an episode.
You know, I'm laughing because I'm purposely not making eye contact with you so that you have to keep talking about stress and gut health because I know you want to hand that shit off.
No, it's okay. I don't mind talking about it because it's a good topic.
He's looking at me and I'm not looking at him because he's like, fucking answer it, Sal.
Am I in the right direction here?
No, I mean, you already answered this already. Wasn't it 3 months ago when we made that connection that your gut is directly connected To your brain.
Yeah, there's direct communication.
Through a nerve that I don't know the name, that I'm sure you fucking remember the name.
The valgus?
No.
Oh, you don't know the nerve.
No. It's the, I can't remember. It'll
yes,
come.
I got it.
It's not a nerve. It's the lymphatic system.
Okay.
Interesting Boom. Stuff about the gut. First and foremost, the gut actually produces, they estimate up to 90% of the serotonin that's produced in the body is produced in the gut. The gut has been referred to as the second brain. Stress affects the gut, but the gut also affects how you feel and can affect stress. It's this interesting relationship. Where stressing yourself out definitely will change things like gut, mobility will definitely, or motility, excuse me, will change permeability of the gut, will change the mucosa lining, can affect acid levels in the gut. There's even evidence to show that stress will change, can affect the microbiome within the gut. But then on the flip, having problems with your gut, inflammation, bacterial issues in the gut, will change how your brain thinks and feels, which will then contribute to stress. So it's one of those chicken or the egg type of things, which one comes first.
Mm-hmm. But I find it fascinating that for years we've said things like, I just had this gut feeling.
Oh, totally.
I feel it in my gut, butterflies in my stomach, like all these terms and things that we've used and said for so long, which implies that there's some sort of a connection to the brain.
Well,
and the
gut. Ben Greenfield brought up something about the heart too. I forget what was it that, it had some sort of other feature to it.
Come on,
dude, help me out here.
I don't remember.
He's being a dick today, bro.
I know, right?
He's being a dick.
Let him finish his thought.
No, yeah. No.
That was horrible. Thanks for fucking roasting me there.
the heart, right? It has
totally forget. I was throwing it out there because we found out
it's got a built-in air conditioning system.
It does. And,
is responsible for cooling the body. This whole time we thought
had no idea.
Yeah, that the
the reason why you feel the reason
like
why
it had a neurological component to it.
Yeah, there
okay,
is.
So it spoke back to the brain.
He knew that. He just
fucks.
No, I
he's just being a fucking dick.
The ATM's out of money.
I like that though. The built-in air conditioning.
No, that's
what I would have made up of.
Yeah,
if he left me hanging right there, I would have said, "Well, we've
kind of like a radiator."
We found this out recently.
Yeah. No, you feel things in your body because there are definite connections. The heart is one of them, but the gut is a big one. Think about it. Like Adam was saying, you feel things in your gut. When you get stressed out, you tend to feel in your stomach, falling in love, getting upset, being scared. You'll feel those things in the gut. There's receptors in the gut that receive serotonin. It produces serotonin. There's other chemicals that'll produce, and it communicates with the brain. So there's this very interesting relationship between the two, and managing stress will help the gut, but helping the gut will also help manage stress. I don't think you can separate the two. That's the thing. You'll find lots of people, and it's hard to test this, right? Like you find people with irritable bowel syndrome and Crohn's disease and colitis or issues up with the gut will have much higher instances of things like depression, anxiety, paranoia, higher instances of them having to take, selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors and other drugs like that. And many times people said, oh, it's because the reason why they're depressed, the reason why they have these mental issues is because they're dealing with all these health issues. And there's definitely, some merit to that. But what they're finding is there's actually a direct relationship. It's not just so much that I feel shitty, therefore I have all these other problems. It's more than that. So separating the two is almost impossible. If you're a very stressed out individual, you should be managing your stress, but you should also be taking care of your gut, extra care of your gut. You should be avoiding foods that are highly processed. You should be eating foods that are fermented. You should be eating lots of vegetables. You should practice intermittent fasting because that's got benefits to the gut. You should be avoiding foods that tend to cause indigestion or any type of problem with digestion, because that'll feed right back to your stress in indirect ways. So it's just an interesting thing.
How would you rate like incorporating like probiotics and like fermented foods?
I'm glad you're asking.
Versus like just like a diverse amount of nutrients. So I'm getting different phytonutrients, you know, across the board.
So probiotics, there's actually quite a bit of science supporting their use in helping with gut issues. And there's some evidence now that probiotics help with other physical issues, skin issues, issues with hair, nails, and emotional and mental issues. They're finding now that there's a connection between taking probiotics and actually mentally being able to think clearer and feel better. Here's the problem. The science is so undeveloped that it's hard to say what the right probiotics, what the right bacteria and the percentages, and can you overpopulate your gut with some of these common, you know, bacteria that are found in probiotics. Like most probiotics will have a variety of lactobacillus and bifido, you know, type bacteria. But can you overpopulate your gut? Can you take those all the time to the point where now you have too much?
I feel like you can.
I mean, I think you can.
Speaking anecdotal only here is when we got on the first, this was the year before last when you, because when we first got it, the three of us all start to got to talking here and we talked about health and fitness. Sal's like big thing that he was on, I remember it was gut health because there was a lot of emerging science in that. And he was, and I was, this is something that I'll admit that I was not into yet. Like I really did not dive into gut health at all. So a lot of
me either.
This was definitely orchestrated and directed by him. And I've been extremely fascinated with it since then and noticed a huge difference by addressing this in my own diet. And just like he's saying is looking for food. Well, I took it to an extreme and I started drinking
like three kombuchas a day.
Not three, every day. But I went from a guy who never had it before. And then I was drinking them every single day. And I felt like adverse effects from it. I didn't feel
at first you felt good, right?
Yeah. At first I felt good, but because I kept doing it, like I was doing it every single day for like a month or two, I started noticing adverse effects from it. And then I started noticing too, if I hadn't, like I felt weird and then I felt like I had to do it. Like it was, so personally for me, I've just tried to incorporate foods that are higher. Like, so, you know, getting some of your dairy products. So if you're not somebody who drinks, eats a lot of dairy, this might be somebody who would benefit more from like a kombucha, but you know, like your Greek yogurts, things like that. These are great choices. Foods that are higher in digestible enzymes, like your peppers, like bell peppers, green peppers. I'm really good about getting a lot of color and diversity like that. These are all things that benefit and help that. So just by being aware of that and incorporating that into the diet on a regular basis versus, oh my God, like this, the gut health is so important, going out and getting like foods that are fermented, like a kombucha, which is, and kombucha has a lot. What is it? It's like 2 million parts, I think.
It's not that much, actually, because the average probiotic, the ones that they recommend.
10 million, yeah.
Yeah, no, billion.
Or a billion?
Yeah, they're going to billions. The one I used to take had 100 billion. I can say now proudly that I take probiotics pretty infrequently now. I used to have to take them pretty regularly. And now my gut is just, and I think it's just over time I've been able to heal my gut through being very diligent with how I eat, with avoiding foods that I know that irritate me, with practicing stress relieving things. And it's interesting. Last night I was at my parents' house and, you know, I was telling them like, wow, my gut is like so good now. Like I don't take probiotics anymore. I take no supplements anymore. And my parents are like, well, you know, you just went through what you went through and referring to my divorce and stuff, and you're coming out of it. And of course you're going to feel better. And it hit me like, well, yeah, I mean, going through stressful situations has huge impacts on the gut. And coming out the other end of that, I'm going to notice more health, you know, or better health, I should say, with gut health. But I'll say this, if you're under a lot of stress, you probably should pay more attention to your gut health. You know, it's almost like, you know, okay, this side is being hammered right now. I better pay more attention to this other end
because they're inversely related.
They're both related. It's almost like like activity and diet. Like, okay, I'm not moving that much. I better eat less. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to look at both of them to kind of manage how much importance or how much emphasis you place on each one.
So you don't tip the scale too much.
It will. And you know, like I said, as I was saying, they're finding some very interesting connections with the gut and the brain. They're finding people, you know, getting that. There was a one study, in fact, where they gave women a probiotic and some women, they didn't give them a probiotic and they had done MRIs before and after. And the way the brain actually seemed to be operating changed a little bit. The sequencing changed a little bit from taking a fucking, you know, probiotic.
Yeah.
Pretty crazy stuff. I think there's going to be huge breakthroughs in science.
That is really weird that it changes your mood so significantly like that.
Dude, so big. So big. So I think we're going to find some pretty interesting stuff for the next 10 to 20 years. I think you can be huge breakthroughs in this. And I think a lot of our chronic illnesses and issues that we have, everything from the exploding rise in ADHD to, you know, chronic health conditions, I think are going to go all the way down to the gut. Now, what's causing these issues with the gut? I mean, shit, you know, it could be everything from, you know, the glyphosates found in GMO foods to antibiotics that we use like crazy to, you know, chlorine in our water. I mean, there's so many different things that can alter gut. And like I said, the science is so not conclusive and not concrete right now that it's hard to say. But if you're really stressed out, pay good attention to your gut. This is the time when you need to eat real healthy, real diverse. Taking a probiotic will probably be better at this point, and it will help you with the stress and vice versa. If you have lots of gut issues, even though you're doing everything right with your food, you might want to do stress managing things as well, like meditation, you know, relaxing, yoga, you know, those types of things to help because they're both connected.
CBX718, what is the ideal sodium intake and what are the benefits or consequences of having too little or too much?
Well, this is something that sodium is one of those things that's heavily manipulated in the stage presentation world, right, Adam?
Yeah,
this is something you guys fuck with all the time.
Somebody reached out to me and asked this question. I said, you know what, we should put this on a qua because I think it's a good question to talk to a lot of people because there's a major gray area here. The studies that we have out there aren't really conclusive because, like, for example, they say the RDA, like the recommended daily allowance that we should have of like sodium is around 1500 milligrams, which is really low. Like one tablespoon of salt is more than that. So that's a low amount. The average American, they're saying, is consuming more than 3,500 milligrams a day, which they're saying is on the upper limits and can be dangerous. Now, the studies that show that can be dangerous or that's too much are also what they don't separate that from is that like 90% of that intake is from processed foods. So sodium coming from processed foods. Yeah. Like if you're reaching up upper limits of 3,500 milligrams or plus, could be bad, but I don't know if that's from the sodium or probably like more likely
preservatives and all the additives and stuff.
Yeah, because you can just guarantee if you're eating out, you're eating anything box or package, the sodium in that is through the roof to preserve the food. Like a lot of people don't understand
or
that.
Just make it taste good.
Yeah, and even if you go to like a health restaurant, so okay, keep that in mind, you guys. If you're eating out at a place that when you look at the macros, it says, oh, my fat, my carbs, my protein, and the calories are extremely low. Because it's a restaurant and they need to preserve the food or they want it to taste good, like Sal said, most of it is loaded full of salt, which can be totally safe and fine, but we don't know that exact number. And like I said, the RDA, they try and say is around 1,500. I believe that we can get away with having a lot more than that if it's coming from a good source. And if you're getting it from like Sal talked about recently on a show, with getting it from like pink and black, different types of
salts.
Yes, like good salts like that, which typically are lower in sodium anyways and getting the health benefits from the salt and the mineral. So, you know, there's a lot of gray area here. I tell my clients we want to be somewhere in that 1,500 to 2,500 milligram range. That's a good range. We don't want to limit it. It's a very, very essential part of the diet. It's very important for function. Like if you've ever gone through competing and you've had a coach tell you to eliminate or cut your salt, that is retarded. Okay, so coaches, it blows my mind when they tell people to cut their salts because it's essential to your metabolism. It's essential to your blood flow, your metabolism. There's so many things that salt plays a role in. And when they take it away like that, it is super unhealthy. Yeah. And you don't need to. People think that because salt pairs with water that it naturally is going to bloat you. Well, sure. If you're somebody who averages, you know, say 1500 milligrams of salt every day, and then you go out and you eat 3,000 to 4,000 milligrams of salt one day, well, yeah, no shit, the next day you're going to be bloated. You've ingested, you know, 2000 more milligrams of salt. That's also going to increase your water intake because more than likely you're going to be thirsty, so you're going to drink more water. Water pairs with not only sodium, it pairs with carbohydrates, so more than likely if you're not a carb-free person, for every, you know, 3 ounces of carbohydrates you take in, your body holds 3 ounces of water, plus it's pairing with the salt. So there's where all that bloating and holding the water comes from. That's not necessarily dangerous. It's just, and it takes about 72 hours for that to flush and go through the body. So decreasing it completely is not a good idea at all. So we know for sure keeping it around that 1,500 milligrams is, I know it's a generic number, but you should be intaking at least that. I would argue to say that it's okay to go beyond that as long as you're getting it from good sources. If you're putting the salt on your food, getting it in that way versus getting sodium from processed foods and stuff
those
like that.
Those coaches that probably suggest that are probably the same ones that have them on distilled water.
Oh, totally.
Right?
They put them on distilled water. They're also the same dumb coaches that cut fruit out of the diet.
Fucking that's horrible. Unhealthy as hell.
I'll tell you what. This is what we're going to end up. We're going to probably end up. So right now we're seeing that cholesterol is now being, it has been demonized for a long time, and now they're starting to reverse. Saturated fat is now they're starting to find, saturated fat's not bad like we thought it was. Salt is the next one.
I agree.
Salt is the next one.
That's why I didn't want to tell people to stay below that number.
In fact, the science supporting or set the evidence that said that salt caused hypertension has never been compelling, and in fact has been countered in other studies.
More stress related than anything else?
Well, when you start. So if you look at cultures that consume higher salt, you can say, generally have higher rates of hypertension. But when you study within those cultures and go from person to person or from group to group, you find that the connection becomes, at best, shoddy, that it's not that big of a... And then we're talking about, we're not talking about extreme sodium consumption. We're talking about the range of low to high that the American, Dietary Association would consider high. A study in 2011 came out recently... in 2011, that showed that people with low salt intake had higher rates of cardiovascular disease, death, diabetes, lots of problems. And people consuming higher salt actually had better health. And there's lots of science to support this.
Well, it increases blood flow. It makes sense. If it's going to help with transferring blood through your blood vessels.
But what you mentioned was good because of, the processed food and the preservatives and all that. That's totally different. Like, as kind of a rule that I've kept to myself is that, with salt, I'm trying to add salt, after I've made my meal.
Yes.
All that. You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
I feel like I can't really go wrong with that mentality.
No, if you eat whole foods, if you eat whole natural foods, you have no problem with salt. Add salt. Salt the fuck out of your food when you eat it. You're not going to have a problem for most healthy people. Period. End of story. Now, if everything you eat comes out of a box,
or it's processed,
you're going to be eating a lot of salt, but you're also eating a lot of other shit. Yeah. Processed food just isn't good for you. And so if you just tease out the sodium aspect of it, it's not bad. It's not really that bad for you. In fact, if you're an athlete, you need a lot more salt than the average person. I've trained many endurance athletes, and I've actually had them add a small pinch of sea salt to their water to help replenish that sodium, during their training and their running. And if you're an athlete and you cut sodium, you're going to have reduced performance.
That's why your sweat is salty.
Yeah, you're not going to think right. You're going to get bad pumps. Your muscles aren't going to recover as well. You're not going to build as much muscle. You don't need to worry about sodium unless you're specifically told to worry about your sodium. It's just not an issue. And for whatever reason, because of, like I said, some bad studies, we put saturated fat, cholesterol, and sodium. Cut those things out and you're... No, not at all.
Stupid.
Sodium. Terrible. No, don't cut yours. In fact, in 2012, they did another study that showed that people who go and try to cut sodium intake, it's bad. It's dangerous. They actually have health issues or worse health issues as a result. So I always recommend people don't worry about sodium. Just don't eat a shit ton of processed food and you're absolutely fine.
Well,
and for people who low carb diet, people who like to eat low carbohydrates, you definitely need more sodium, especially if you keto. If you eat high fat, very low carbohydrates, your body excretes a lot more sodium anyway. It's kind of a natural diuretic. So you probably should add salt to your food. In fact, you'll find a lot of people will say when they eat low carb that they tend to crave salt to your food or add salt to their food.
Well, and so you mentioned eventually you predict this to come out, and I agree, because right now the American Heart Association is telling people, the intake should be around 2,300 milligrams.
Something
and
like that.
Yeah, and I think that's really low. I think that's low if you're getting it from all good natural sources. And I think the studies that they've shown that 3,400 plus is bad, it's because it's coming from the source that it's coming from. It's less of the actual sodium. It's more of what it's coming from and the issues that we're finding out that processed foods and shit like that has to do with our body. So
yeah, there's some studies. See, I just Googled and there's a 2010 study from Harvard linking low salt diets to an immediate onset of insulin resistance, which is a precursor to type 2 diabetes. Mm. I mean, you just gotta, I mean, look, you know, these are essential things. And when you're cutting something that's essential out, you got to be very, very careful. And at the end of the day, you can't, I mean, if you're eating whole natural foods, you kind of can't go wrong. You know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah, exactly.
Like, where am I going wrong here? I'm eating whole natural foods.
Yeah, you would have to dump so much salt on it that it would taste bad.
I don't think
like,
it would.
Like, you'd have, it'd be like, well, this is like all salt.
Or just eat a diet that's not varied. Like, oh, I eat whole natural foods. And I'm like, what's your diet consist of? I eat steak and, you know, I eat two foods and that's all I ever eat. Whatever. Okay, now you might have some issues. You eat a nice variety of whole natural foods. You probably don't have to, I mean, you're a normal, healthy individual. You don't have to worry about anything, and especially sodium.
And just so my competitors or aspiring competitors that are listening, the whole theory behind that with cutting it out is the water thing with competitors. And I'll tell you right now what most competitors don't realize. They think it's from the carbs. So the day before, this is super common. You know, coaches will look at their athletes and they'll say, okay, now go have a cheat meal. You know, go eat out In-N-Out, go slam some burgers, go do all stuff. And then the next morning they wake up and they're like, oh shit, I'm fucking loaded. I look great. What you don't realize is 90% of that look that you feel right now is from the salt. Mm. It's not from the fucking cheeseburger. It's not from the carbohydrates. Intaking 100 to 200 extra grams of carbs is not going to give you that
correct
look. It's the sodium. The sodium is now what you've done, and you've probably squeezed off a lot because he's probably cut you from some sodium for so long, which was unhealthy and stupid in the first place. And then he tells you can go have a cheat meal, and now you go from somebody who's eating less than 500 milligrams of sodium every day to someone who just had 3,000 milligrams. It's like a fucking fire hose just went off through all your veins and blood vessels, and it gives you this ridiculous vascular looking body, and you have this nasty pump from it. And then you add in the fact that you have some carbohydrates to fill your muscle bellies. That's why you look like that. That's where that's coming from. So don't be fooled by what it is. If he's telling you it's because of carbohydrates, he's a moron. It's the sodium. And if your coach is telling you to not intake sodium, he's also a moron.
Yeah, if you want to look up the
study. Or she's a moron.
If you
If you want to look up the study, this one of the studies that I'm referencing, you want to look up the. It's a 2011 study done by the Journal of American Medical Association. Go ahead and Google that on sodium, and you'll see that that study came out and showed that low, super low sodium diets were dangerous, and that some of the higher sodium ones were probably better. And that one kind of shook the medical industry a little bit. So check it out.
Yeah, no, it's super, super important for many, many reasons.
For the skinny fat girls is wondering what to do if a child is going down the wrong path with weight and diet.
Well, I can't answer this fucking question.
Come on, Adam.
Yeah. What would you do?
Nobody takes me seriously.
Armchair advice.
What would you do, Adam?
Give the kid back.
Give him back.
Yeah, I don't want it anymore.
This kid's fucked up. I'll take another one.
Yeah. I'm only producing athletes here.
So here's the thing. Depends on the age of the child. If the child is old enough to make their own decisions with food, it's very difficult. Very, very difficult. The best thing you could do, hopefully what you've done, is you've provided a home and a lifestyle to where the child, you know, it was their lifestyle to eat healthy. It was their lifestyle to not overeat. It was their lifestyle to eat whole natural foods and a wide variety of them.
The single most important point right there, the modeling effect.
Yeah, because I know myself. Like, I grew up and I didn't eat perfect, but compared to my friends, we ate pretty healthy. My mom did a lot of cooking. And when I left home, you know, initially, right, you kind of go crazy. Like, oh, fuck, I can eat McDonald's all I want and I can eat whatever. But that only lasted so long because I started craving those home cooked meals, the natural food that I grew up on, and you know, it makes a huge impact. So if that child has grown up in a household now where you guys have been eating shitty the entire time, and now they're making their own food decisions, very, very tough now to make an impact on them. Very, very difficult. The best thing you could possibly do is be a great example, because for the most part, where you find obese children, you find obese parents. Yeah. It's just the way it is, and it's not genetics. It's their lifestyle. The parents,
the lifestyle is a big component too, as far as movement is concerned, and that's something that, you know, you definitely want to address and identify, like, you know, what are the patterns we're creating here? What's going on in our day-to-day process after school? Like, are we sitting down? Are they playing video games? Are they, you know, in their room? Are they not outside and active? Like, all these things I try to constantly consider and, like, you know, and then again, not overwhelming them with activity. So, like, this has also been a kind of a push-pull thing for me where, you know, I like to get everybody involved in something, make sure that, you know, we're all together.
That's a good point.
You know, because, like, I can bombard them with, like, okay, now we're going to taekwondo, now we're going to soccer, now we're going to, and it's like, whoa, dad, I'm tired, you know. And I'm like, yeah, but, you know, we have to do this. We gotta stay active, we gotta go outside, we gotta do stuff. And I just need to calm down a little bit with that on that end of it. But
dude, the best thing you made a great point, because you know, I'll tell my son especially, you know, okay, get off the computer now, you've been on too long, or you've been playing video games too long. Very ineffective. Mm-hmm. But when I do something with him,
yeah,
very effective.
Yeah, way, right. Way, like, more, hey, you want to go with me to go do this?
And and you know what? Oh, I don't want to. I want to play video game. 5 minutes later, we're having fun, and, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And that's the biggest thing. Like, telling your kid to do something versus doing it with them.
Oh,
night and day.
I could piggyback on that as far as, like, just noticing bad behavior. We're having such issues, you know, my youngest, and it's like, we just realize that I'm like, I just, okay, like, once it started to kind of flare up, like, I just stopped what I was doing, and then I'm like, okay, and then we just started playing, you know, and just that attention and that, just what he was craving was just like, you know, hey, hang out with me, you know, let's play, let's do something, let's, you know, and just taking time out to really focus back on that. You feel terrible. You're like, oh my God, I was so consumed with what I had to do and work and, you know, all this other, you know, stuff. Like, yeah, they want you.
Dude, being a parent can be super exhausting, because it's like, you're home from work, you're tired as shit.
Yeah.
You pick your kids up from school, they do their homework, now they want to watch TV. All you want to do is sit and work or read or whatever, but you want them to go outside. Like, you yell at them to go outside, it's not going to happen. You got to go out there.
Well, I would imagine
you go out there with them, it makes a huge difference, and it's exhausting, but sometimes, but yeah. I mean, it's your kids.
I imagine that has to be one of the hardest, because we knock the generation now a lot, right? Because we talk about, you know, when we were kids, we were digging holes and building forts, and you were at the park from sun up to sundown and playing football on the grass and, like, basketball out in the street. Like, this was the
until Nintendo came out.
Right. Well, and so that's where I say,
and,
like,
I was like, Mario.
You know, we also didn't grow up in a generation with, man, the shit that the kids have now are so cool. Your phone,
it's right there.
Your phone is, like, the coolest thing that way cooler than anything we had as kids growing up. Just your phone alone, not to mention the video gaming and the TVs now, and, like, the stuff that the kids have.
Overstimulation.
Yeah, is so awesome and so cool. It has to be very challenging because when I was a kid, I begged my parents to go outside. I was like, can I go play? Can I go to the park?
What would you do when you're inside?
Exactly.
Because not a damn thing.
Yeah, because all we had was maybe, you know, Cartoon Network that came around every once in a while, or maybe even at best, you had Nintendo and you had a game or two, you know what I'm saying? And, like, you already wore that to death or beat it, right? So you wanted to go outside and you wanted to play because it was all you could do as a kid, where now we are so overstimulated with all these video games and computers and handheld toys and shit that has to be very challenging for a parent. And then, like you said, coming home from a long day of work, and, you know, I know how I feel when I get home. Like, I don't want to talk to anybody. I don't want to do anything. I literally want to take my shoes off, put my feet up, and I want to melt into my couch because
I can't do that.
Yeah. And I guess as a parent, if this is something that, which is also goes back to why I'm not a parent yet, because I still am selfish when it comes to things like that. And I know that I would have to be selfless and come home and know that my job is not over. In fact, the most important part of
discipline and work,
most important part of my job is actually just beginning when I get home. If you're a father or a mother, you know,
those tendencies don't go away, by the way. So, like, you know, like, your routine that you have right now, being single and not having kids and all that kind of stuff, like that mentality, it tends to stay with you, but it's this new discipline that you have to train yourself to, you know, come home. I got to have this positive attitude and I got to present myself in such a way, because it affects everybody, you know, and your whole house environment gets affected by how you react how much energy you put into it.
You remember when we had Erica, we interviewed her, you know, she made that comment of, like, we asked her, when was the moment, like,
her kid wanted to play and she just didn't have the energy.
Yeah.
So that's what prompted her to lose so much weight.
Yeah. And I think that resonated with a lot of people that, you know, like, God, how many times have you
looked at your kid and been like, I just don't.
I just can't do it. Well,
dude, I'll tell you what, man. The other day I was playing a board game with my kids. I had, what board game was it? I think it was Sorry.
Oh, yeah.
And so I was playing Classic. That with it. And I don't want to fucking play Sorry, dude. I just don't want to do that shit. But yeah. You know what? All they're doing is on the freaking iPad or watching TV.
Yeah.
I'm going to sit there and, you know, do some bullshit. So, you know what? Let's play Sorry. And I had to kind of force them at first. Then we started playing. And I'm sitting there and I'm having conversations with my kids. Mm-hmm. And this made me really sad. What made me really sad is I realized how intelligent they were, like these little people. And we're having these conversations other than the typical do this, do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all of a sudden we're just joking around and talking. And I'm like, man, these kids are really, you know, like they're little humans. Like they're really, we're having this great conversation. They're intelligent little people. And
yeah.
I'm like, fuck, why didn't I, like the fact that I'm being shocked by that now is sad because I should know this all the time.
Right.
And it's just, you get caught up in that shit as a parent.
I could totally identify.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Where you're just like, whoa, where did you learn that word? And it's like, they've probably been saying it for 3 weeks, but you're too busy, you know, not totally being there.
Yeah.
And the thing that, look, the same thing is with diet, man. Your kids eat how you eat. Mm-hmm. You know, they eat what you put on the table. They watch what you eat.
Yeah.
They go in the cupboard to snack on something and it's what you bought.
And I have a win finally that I can attest to with that because my oldest, like, I mean, it was a struggle. It was a struggle to get him to eat, you know, the way that we were eating. So it was like a fight and it was a battle constantly, but we stuck to it. You know, we stuck to it and it was hard because you don't want to have every day battle the same thing over dinner. You know, no.
Dude, you get tired. You just want to give in. You
get exhausted. You want to cave in and just give them what they want or whatever. But, you know, because especially too, because then they would go to grandma and grandpa's and then that would kind of undo everything that you just did. But what's great is that, you know, just by modeling and keeping the consistency of it, you start to see little like glimmers of hope and success because he was at my parents and he was like, you know, my mom was just trying to give him, you know, like some snacks for this or that or whatever. Like, and it's all like crackers and, you know, garbage and all this shit. And so he's like, he was like, oh, yeah, that's all junk food, Grandma. Yeah. That's all junk food.
Boom.
Yeah. And then bam. I was like, yes.
Yeah, no,
I want some health food.
I've because of the way that I am with my kids. And by the way, I'm not a, you don't want to be a food Nazi because they will rebel.
No.
In the opposite direction. It will become a painful memory for them to the point where when they can get out on their own, they will never eat the way you had them eat because it was such a bad you know, relationship that they have with food. So I'm not hammering my kids. I'm not telling them you're going to get fat. I'm not saying that stuff. I'm relating it to energy. I'm relating it to how they feel. Mm-hmm. I'm relating it to how I feel. I'm careful how I talk about myself. I'm very careful without, I'd never say things like, ooh, I need to lose a little bit or I feel fat because they will internalize that as well. So you got to be very careful how you talk about it. It's all by example, but it's interesting because of the way I am with my kids. When we go to birthdays and they get cake and they'll have cake and I'll let them have it, of course. Like I said, I don't want to be a Nazi about it. They'll eat like half or a third of the cake the other kids will because it's like they're not,
not as motivated.
No, yeah, they're like, this is good and I'm over it. And they've also associated how they feel with it. Like my daughter, who has got a tougher time eating, you know, the way we eat than my son, probably because she's younger. She'll eat some cake and then I'll say, you know, why did you leave? How come you didn't eat the rest of it? She's like, it doesn't make me feel good if I eat all of it. And I'm like, fuck yes, that's great. Man.
Yeah.
That's
a win.
It's a total win.
So I'm gonna go one step further. And I hope that she doesn't get offended by this because I just recently pulled up her Instagram.
Oh no!
Yeah,
I know exactly what you're gonna do.
And here's the thing: like this definitely. I'm gonna go back to what the.
Well,
guy,
she's a fitness blog, a food blogger. Does she have children?
I'm assuming if she's asking questions,
maybe, huh?
I would think so.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what do you do if your kids are going down the path with weight and diet? Celebrating food the way you do right now is probably not ideal. And I don't know if your kids have access to your Instagram and social media. And if this is your business, I don't, you know, it's kind of, this is a tough struggle because I'm going through the pictures and like, I don't know, at least 50% of these pictures on here are, you know, not health foods and sweets and desserts and other things like that. Like, you know, I think it starts with the relationship that you have with food first before you're going to improve the relationship that your kids have with food. And that's a tough thing for a lot of people to swallow. And
Dude, it's hard, man.
And I'm not, and I'm by, and this is something that I struggle with, and we all struggle with, and you know, this is just somebody who's speaking from experience, and I'm not attacking. I hope you don't take it that way at all. But when I look at an Instagram page like this, it's the same thing I've talked about before with, you know, we got into a battle with this girl that was a IFYM promoter, and she's a trainer, fitness professional, in phenomenal shape herself. And more than half of her posts are ice cream and donuts. And, you know, if you are sending that message and you're celebrating foods like this that you know damn well are not healthy and not ideal for your body, you're creating a poor relationship with food.
Well, it's a good, that's a good point, because, and I think, you know, where Adam's going is, you know, when he says celebrate, like, do you, how do you celebrate, you know, events and milestones with your kids? Do you say, hey, you know, you did great in school. I made you this cake, or we're going to go get ice cream because you did really well. And what you don't realize is that you're creating this association between happy and good times and these types of foods. There's so many other ways you can celebrate, you know, certain things. Now there's definitely times when that's okay, like celebrating holidays, because holidays come once a year. So Christmas, we get to have this particular Christmas type of food, and you know, and your kids have to live in the regular world, and they're going to be exposed to these types of foods, and you don't want to be, again, you don't want to be a Nazi about it, but it's all about example. It's all about, I'll tell you what, you know what my kids like favorite snack when they come home from, you'll never believe this. Like when my kids come home from school and they're like, please let me have a snack. I want to have a snack. Can I please have either A, raspberries, or I'm not joking, a raw red pepper. My son will like to eat a bell pepper, excuse me, raw, and we'll cut it up and he'll snack on it. It's like the biggest treat to him. If he always ate or was used to eating, you know, things with sugar or super processed foods, that bell pepper would taste like nothing to him. It would be like, why are you giving me this? I don't like this. This is gross. But because that's what he's always, you know, been eating for his treat or snack, they're delicious. They're really delicious things. It's just our taste buds have been skewed by all this other crap that, you know, when you eat that way and then you eat the bell pepper, it's not that exciting anymore.
Well, and I'm not one to say to, and I just want to make sure that she doesn't think that I'm picking on her at all, because I think she's fucking an awesome person. I know she's been following us for some time and a huge support.
She has a great page. There's lots of good info.
Yeah, yeah, no, it's for sure. So I just, when I see something like that, I right away want to think, and I know the boys have already mentioned it before, of, you know, it starts with you as parents, you know, that you first have to handle any sort of relationships that you're having with food. I'll tell you right now, being a fucking fitness professional for over 15 years, it wasn't even 6 months ago that my paradigm was shattered and my relationship with food had changed. So I know damn well that with my experience, my knowledge in the fitness industry, if I'm still having my paradigm shattered and I'm still growing with trying to have a better relationship with foods, most people out there probably are in the same boat. And you know, I would first reflect on myself and reflect on what am I presenting to my kids, or what example am I when I'm doing these types of things or promoting these types of things around them, and what message am I sending? So, you know, first hone in, I think, yourself. I think then that becomes a lot easier. Sal talked about, I know I've repeated this at least two or three times on the show, but I think you can never say this too much, because it was the best advice I think I've ever heard him give when it comes to children and food. Is, you know, teaching them how to relate it to health and energy and strength and, you know, mental function and, you know, feeling
performance
better.
Based
yeah,
stuff.
More
yeah.
Performance and relating food that way versus, you know, skinny or fat or,
no, never.
You know,
never
be, about how you feel. You
and
know.
Don't, you know, here's the thing, that kids will always shock you. They're way smarter than you think. I will literally tell my 6-year-old daughter what a carbohydrate is, what a fat is. That proteins are made up of amino acids, and they'll just say, well, what do those do? And I'll explain what they do. And she'll get the gist of it. She's not going to be able to repeat it or whatever, but they kind of get it. And over the years, they're going to understand mm-hmm. on a much greater depth, you know, what food really does to the body and you know, what food means and how we should eat it and the kind of relationship
it's
we
a good
have.
Point. Like just having that educational process behind, you know, the food is a big deal, because then it – like you said, they really do absorb. They're little sponges. And the more that you just talk to them like, you know, a little human being instead of like a little a kid that's not going to understand anything, and you make believe everything.
Dude, you can't just say don't eat sugar; it's bad for you.
Yeah.
What the hell does that mean?
What do you mean?
What do you mean?
Explain
bad?
It. Exactly.
I see my friends eating it, and they look fine. Yeah. Like, why is sugar bad? And so I'll explain. Well, this is what sugar does. Mm-hmm. Your body releases a hormone called insulin, and insulin does this. And then if you just keep doing that, then your body stops listening to insulin. And then these are some of the problems that can happen. And you'd be surprised how much kids can understand when you talk to them like an adult.
Well, and I have friends that are competitors, male and female, that go through this like starve binge, and like,
oh, dude, you know, if you're in the fitness industry, that does not mean you have a better food relationship.
No, not at all.
Probably
and
worse.
And if even if you're fit, and that's the thing you have to be careful as a parent. And that's really the message that I'm trying to get at is that, you know, be careful of the message that you could be possibly sending to your child is that, you know, maybe you've learned the formula for you. Like, maybe you've learned like how to get yourself in shape, and you've come such a long ways, and you've learned this balance of, you know, eating good for the most part, but then you enjoy these like, you know, other treats and foods and some of that, which I'm, you know, by all means, like I just came back from Maui and fucking ate my brains out, like food and alcohol, stuff that I normally wouldn't do. You know, and for me, like, and I literally made a post about it, which is so not like, you can go through my entire Instagram and you'll see that that's one of the things I speak out with health and fitness professionals is, you know, showing people always these treats and these foods all the time. You know, we have a nation that is suffering from fucking diabetes and struggling with weight loss, and we're basically flaunting, you know, all these crazy desserts in front of them. What am I really doing, or what message am I sending to them by posting fucking great? It's like going to an Alcohol Anonymous meeting and fucking coming in drunk, drinking a beer, trying to have stand up and do a speech and tell people how they need to stop drinking alcohol. Like, that's just, I mean, what am I doing? Like, what am I doing as a fitness professional? So, you know, I challenge that as a parent. Like, if you're a parent and you're trying to get your kids to eat healthy and to have a good relationship with healthy foods and good balance, you know, and they see me eat clean for 5 days out of the week, and then it's Saturday, so we get to have donuts and dessert and cake and treats. Like, what am I showing them, and what are they learning from me by that? Like, really ask yourself that and challenge to grow and improve your relationship with food.
Hey, listen, if you like Mind Pump, leave us a 5-star rating review on iTunes. If we like it and we pick it, you'll win a free t-shirt. You can also find us on Instagram at Mind Pump Radio. You can find me at Mind Pump Sal. Adam's at Mind Pump Adam. Justin is at Mind Pump Justin. And Mr. Douglas is at Mind Pump Doug.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. If your goal is to build and shape your body, dramatically improve your health and energy, and maximize your overall performance, check out our discounted RGB Super Bundle at mindpumpmedia.com. The RGB Super Bundle includes MAPS Anabolic, MAPS Performance, and MAPS Aesthetic. 9 months of phased expert exercise programming designed by Sal, Adam, and Justin to systematically transform the way your body looks, feels, and performs. With detailed workout blueprints and over 200 videos, the RGB Super Bundle is like having Sal, Adam, and Justin as your own personal trainers, but at a fraction of the price. The RGB Super Bundle has a full 30-day money-back guarantee, and you can get it now plus other valuable free resources at mindpumpmedia.com. If you enjoy this show, please share the love by leaving us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes and by introducing Mind Pump to your friends and family. We thank you for your support, and until next time, this is Mind Pump.